I'd like to ask you to read in Genesis chapter 15. Now God is communicating to Abraham, Abram as he's called at this time of his life, that his family is going to eventually be brought into the land of promise, the land where he is now a stranger. But God is explaining to Abram why there is a delay. Verse 15, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace." So it won't be in your lifetime, Abram. "Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." John's Gospel, chapter 18. Verse 11. "Then said Jesus unto Peter," Peter who had been so quick to defend his Lord and use a sword to keep the captors from taking the Lord Jesus, "put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" The Bible has a very striking way of presenting truth. There is something very weighty about the expression we have read in Genesis chapter 15. If I can convey to you what I see in this simple expression, I think you too will understand the serious message that it gives. There were inhabitants of the land of Canaan, the Amorites. They would eventually be removed from their land, and their land would be given to the Israelites. God had promised that to Abram, and it would take place, and it did. But God says to Abram, your family can't have that country just yet, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. They're filling a cup. Day after day, year after year, they are filling a cup. Sins are being put into that cup. But it's not yet full. And when the time comes that it is full, then the judgment of God will fall upon them. They will be removed from their land. That will be the time when their land becomes the property, the right of the Jews. A filling cup. Now let me take that picture from a nation, from a people, and apply it to individuals that are in this gathering tonight. There are just some very solemn facts that I want to tell you. In light of this picture, first of all, let me suggest to you that God has appointed the size of each person's cup. The cup of the Amorites must have been a very large cup. For four generations, they kept filling it and filling it until it was full. Some people have a cup that is big enough to put 15 years of sin in. And some have a cup that's big enough to put 80 years of sin in. You thought that you would live until your health ran out. Here's a different picture of how long people live. They have a certain allowance as to how many sins they may commit. There is an unknown measurement. You don't know how big that cup is. But day after day, you're filling that cup. All unconscious, you are committing sins. We have been reminded tonight already that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you didn't think about it today, but as you sat at the traffic light and the traffic light was too long, and you just said a few muttered words in which the name of the Lord slipped out, another sin. And an angry thought, unexpressed. And another sin into the cup. And then there may have been some time today when the sins were flowing into the cup, and you did know that one or two of those had actually gone past. Sin after sin after sin. And there's not really any comfort for anyone in the meeting tonight, whether you're younger or whether you're older, whether you are doing your best to restrain your behavior and to act with as good character as you possibly can. You have been adding sins to your cup today. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So I went speeding past them on the highway. And I thought to myself, I've got to get to where I'm going. Poor lady. She needs somebody to help her, but I'm busy. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And a kind word that could have helped someone, unspoken. And you thought to yourself, I missed my chances. Probably should have said something to them. To him, it is sin. And one more sin into the cup. And day after day, and please don't think I'm exaggerating, second after second, because God regards thoughts as sin. God regards words as sin, spoken or unspoken. God regards actions as sin. God regards wrong motives as sin. And if you have ever tried to straighten out your motives, you must be aware of this. I can't even keep them straight. Sin after sin. In a cup, and you have no concept how large that cup is. And there's an unknown moment that's coming when you will have sinned your last sin, when your cup will be filled, and the judgment of God will fall. Isn't that a different way of looking at life? Let me just underline a second thing. That God knows every sin that is in the cup. We are dealing with God's full knowledge. You know, I get amazed sometimes when I make a phone call to a business to buy something by phone, and they say, your name? Oliver. Zip code? 19010. You know, it's called that in another country, zip code. And 19010. David? Yes. 105 Landover Road? Yes. Brian, how do you say that last name? They don't know how to pronounce the name. But they've got all that information. How do they keep all that straight? How does God keep straight every individual? And He knows you by name. And He knows every sin. And in fact, I am struck by the truth of the 90th Psalm. When the psalmist records, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Now just get the impact of what the psalmist is saying. Every one of my sins is all in the light of God's countenance. That God sees them at every moment. I look at faces in the meeting tonight, and as I look at each face, somehow there might be one or two things registering. But I don't see here when I'm looking here. And when I look from you, that just goes out of my mind. And at the best, if it works at all, my mind just handles one thing at a time. So I have a difficulty. I am in awe of a God who knows everything about every person at every moment, who is at every moment conscious of every sin you have ever committed, who is at every moment conscious of every sin being added to the cup. He knows every sin. He knows the full amount. The account is kept up to date, up to the split second. God knows everything. Now let me just try to take from what we are saying this focus. Will you understand that our purpose from the beginning of the meeting tonight until this moment actually is to direct your attention to what the real problem is? Your sin. That there is a God with whom you must do. There is a God fully conscious of every sin. And the greatest problem you are facing at this moment is not how you can get this experience that these preachers are talking about. It must be a wonderful thing to be saved. Yes, thank God, it is the best thing in this world. It is wonderful to know your sins forgiven. Thank God. And we sing, oh, happy day that fixed my choice. Thank God for the moment in life. 16 years of age. Didn't know anything in those days. But I thought I did. I didn't know anything about life, I mean, comparatively, it seems to me. And the most important choice of life was made when I was 16, thank God. Saved for eternity through personal faith in Christ. And as you listen tonight, you say, but I don't know how to get this experience. How do I get these feelings that these people have? How do I just get my faith together to be able to say that I'm sure of heaven? Wrong focus. The problem is your sins. Because as the moments of this meeting have been ticking past, the meter in heaven has been clicking round. You've been adding sins since you sat here tonight. And I have bad news for you. If you resolved at this moment never to sin again, you would be absolutely a failure. Sorry. Impossible to stop sinning. And as we slip along through the journey of life, sin after sin is being added, and God knows every sin. I want to emphasize to you tonight that God is waiting. patiently while men fill their cup. Please do not think that God is waiting until you fill the cup. He's just waiting for you to do the last wrong thing. Please do not take that from what I'm saying. God is waiting. But he is waiting that you might turn from your sin. God is waiting that you might have the remedy for sin. God is patiently waiting that you might realize, sin is my enemy. Sin is my problem. Is there any possible remedy for a soul like me? Listen to the invitation of heaven tonight. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God has a solution to the tragic reality of your sin. God has a remedy of the blighted for the blight of sin. And you could leave this meeting tonight saved from your sins and never have to be concerned about filling up the cup. I am not free to sin as I will. I would love to avoid sin in my life. Since God has saved me, I hope there's an increasing desire to live righteously. But I have no worry tonight about facing the results of my sin. Thank God that was all taken care of by my Savior at Calvary. And God is waiting patiently tonight that you might realize you need that Savior. You need that one who suffered and died for sins at Calvary. You see, there are two classes of people in the meeting this evening. There are those to whom Christ means everything, and there are the rest. And those to whom Christ means everything are those that have realized my sin is a problem that I can't resolve. I can in no wise straighten myself up and make myself right. But when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank God that what I could never do, in love and grace he did for me at Calvary. God is waiting patiently, and he is pleading. Did I tell you tonight that there is a God who is deeply concerned about your sins? There's a God who is deeply concerned about your soul. And there is a God of whom the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish. Should come to repentance. And if you want to understand why Christians are waiting for the Lord Jesus to come, and they are longing for the moment when they will see the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us at Calvary. And sometimes we wonder, why has it been so long that he has promised he's coming and he hasn't come? If you had talked to Christians 50 years ago, they would have told you, we're sure we'll never come to death before the Lord Jesus is coming. They weren't living in fantasy. They had reason to expect the Lord Jesus to come at any moment. He hasn't come yet. Do you want to know why he hasn't come? Just count that the long suffering of God is salvation. God is waiting for men to be saved. And God is not willing that any should perish. There's a God who in tender love to your soul pleads with you tonight. Oh, I wish we could convey the heart of God to you. God longs over your soul. God wants you to be saved. God wants to deliver you from the judgment of your sins. But let me tell you this, as a fourth fact, that God is fully able to bring judgment upon a full cup. That when the last sin is added to the cup, I am really going through memory to the words of Jonathan Edwards in the most memorable sermon in American literature, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Let me tell you tonight, if you've ever been told that that was primitive truth, that what he taught was what the Bible says, and in his preaching, he just preached quietly, without animation, reading his notes. And he said, there is no want of power with God to dismiss a soul into hell. The arrows of God fly unseen at noonday. And when the moment comes that the last sin has been added to the cup, the soul goes out into eternity to face the after this. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, judgment. And I want you to realize tonight that you are at any moment going to face the consequence of the sins you've been adding to the cup. This is solemn language that comes from the last book of our Bible. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured into the cup of his indignation, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. The cup has been filled by their own sins, and now transformed into judgment, handed to the sinner by the hand of the Omnipotent, and the soul will drain that cup forever. There's no end to the judgment of sin. For all eternity, the smoke of their torment unending. No rest, as the wrath of God in ceaseless billows will bury the soul forever and forever in judgment. Your sins, your cup, your judgment, your eternity. A filling cup. And it is more full just now than it was when I began to speak about it. Thank God for a full cup in John chapter 18. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And our blessed Savior is going out to Calvary to drain a bitter cup. The great truth is this, he was a willing son, the cup which my Father hath given me. Do you understand tonight that God in heaven, the persons of the Godhead, were so deeply concerned about the cup of wrath that a world was filling? But the Father said, I'm sending the Son, and the Son said, I am glad to go. And he came to this world to take that cup from the hand of his Father, that there might be provision that a world of men and women might not be lost in eternal fire. And I want you to know tonight that all that the Lord Jesus suffered at Calvary, he suffered willingly. That you might not bear the consequence of your sin, he came from heaven. He bore the scourge and the crown of thorns and the cruelty of men, and he went to Calvary willingly to suffer. I thought of it today, tonight, because it's very well etched in my memory. I think the year might have been 1991. But I do remember the place exactly, down in the basement of a home in Maryland. I'd gone down on a Sunday morning to meet with three other Christians, but we had a little Sunday school before. And there was only one boy in the Sunday school, plus an older woman that sat in the back of the family room. I spoke to him and aimed at her, I have to admit to you. But my subject in that little lesson to that one dear little boy was the crucifixion. And I just tried to explain to him all that the Lord Jesus suffered, all the cruelty of men to him, They didn't have to know Johnny. Full of life. Just the kind of little boy I love, huh? And he was itching around after the story got going. And it wasn't too long before, in the middle of my story, he was about to mess the whole thing up. In the middle of my story, his hand shot up. Well, there's only one boy there. What are you going to do? You can't ignore it. So I said, Johnny, what's your question? He looked at me with such a serious question. He said to me, why did he let them do all that to him? Could have cried. I've often wondered, why did he let them do all that to him? He had omnipotent power. He allowed them to do it. Why? Do you wonder? Do you wonder? Do you wonder why it is I love him so? When I think of all he's done, and for me, the guilty one, do you wonder why it is I love him so? Still I wonder. Still I wonder. Still I wonder why it is he loved me so. When I think of all I've done against him, the Holy One, still I wonder why it is he loved me so. I've quoted the words already. Let me just quote them again to you. The Son of God loved me, and he gave himself for me. He took the cup. And oh, what tremendous suffering there was in that cup for him. No one will ever know what that cup meant to him. And in the agony of Calvary, he bore the consequence of sin that was not his own. The cup was given to him, that as the substitute, he might satisfy God on behalf of the guilty. And do you know, we were singing at the beginning of the meeting, it is finished. He decreed it, and he's God the Son. Finished. Nothing more is needed. All the work is done. Do you know that one meaning of that word, one shade of meaning of that word, finished, is given to us in Revelation chapter 15 about a bowl, a cup, that is drained out. And at Calvary, he drained the cup of judgment for me. And he cried in wondrous triumph, it is emptied. It is finished. And that full cup was taken by my blessed substitute. He drained the cup for me. Will you understand tonight that what is before you as this meeting comes to a close is this choice? Will you believe God's record about that Savior who drained the cup at Calvary? Or will you go on yourself? Leave this meeting without that Savior. And face the dark eternity of draining the cup that your sins are filling at the present moment. It is one or the other. Either you will bear the consequence of your own sin, or you believe God's record about his Son, and trust in him. The Word of God says, he that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. He'll never be handed the cup of wrath to drink, but he's passed from death unto life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for a Savior who will in no wise cast out any soul who comes to him. We thank thee for the value of the work he accomplished at Calvary. We thank thee for the welcome that he offers to every soul. And as we look at the gathering tonight, we would long to see sinners from this meeting responding to the Word of God burdened with the reality of their guilt and danger, turning to Christ to hear what God has to say about a work that He accomplished, finished. God has raised Him from the dead, the living Savior, God's evidence to a world of satisfaction as a result of the death of Christ at Calvary. Grant Thy blessing then upon Thy word this evening. Preserve us as we separate. Grant, Lord, we may have the great privilege, in Thy grace, of rejoicing with heaven even tonight, in souls coming to Thy Son, trusting Him for eternity. Grant Thy blessing as we thank Thee for the privilege of being together, and pray this same blessing wherever the gospel is preached, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 245, just the second and last verses of this hymn. Death and the curse were in our cup that Jesus took so willingly. He drained it to its last dark drop. His was its curse at Calvary. That bitter cup, love swallowed up. Now there's no wrath in it for me. The second and last verses, 245. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. And we do hope that if you have received the Savior as yours, you will tell us so that we may rejoice with you. Wonderful thing to be saved. Terrible tragedy to pass on without the Savior. In light of that moment, that may be just beyond the next step, you could miss Christ forever with your choice tonight.